VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. We are having a news roundup day today, and folks, as you hear some of these stories today, you might just ask yourself the question, is Schneider off his rocker? I mean, some of the things we're going to be talking about today are so bizarre that are going on. One just has to question the sanity of much of this nation. We'll get into it here today, but certainly it helps us to underscore the importance, again, the importance of being faithful witnesses in a world that has gone abnormal, in a world that is just spiraling downward, out of control. We've got the truth. We've got God's Word, the Bible, which says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And so it's truth that we have to proclaim as we continue to speak against the evil works of darkness that are going on, to reprove them, and certainly to take a stand for that which is right. So our thanks to Sandy for preparing so many stories for us today. We've got Karen on the phones with her 10-gallon hat for the roundup here today, just in the control room, and I think we're all set to go. Faithwire.com tells the story of a seminary that is encouraging students to confess their sins to plants. Tuesday, Union Theological Seminary, New York City, encouraged its seminarians who were gathered in the school's chapel to confess to the plants their sins against them. In a tweet that went out, today in chapel we confessed to plants. Together we held our grief, joy, regret, hope, guilt, and sorrow in prayer, offering them to the beings who sustain us, but whose gift we too often fail to honor. One left-leaning pastor defended the school, saying, quote, plants are already spoken to and even cursed in parts of Scripture, and a lot of Christians, some might rightly believe in confessing harm done to the planet, of which plant life is an integral part. Well, the photo accompanying the tweet shows a young female seminarian seated cross-legged on the floor, facing what looks like an assortment of cattails, a peace lily, and a majesty palm and potted basil. The seminary mission statement, the Breitbart even picked up in the story, saying the seminary mission statement declares that progressive theology has long taken shape at Union, where faith and scholarship walk together to be a moral force in the world. According to the website, and College Fix has this story, this part of it, according to the website, Union Theological Seminary was founded in 1836 by 9 Presbyterian ministers who were seeking a new vision for theological education. Elsewhere on the website, it states that the fragility of our planet is one of the most profoundly challenging issues of our contemporary experience. Because plants aren't capable of verbal response, does that mean we shouldn't engage with them? The thread continued asking and saying, if we do not change, we will perish. And now, a seminary encouraging their students to confess their sins to plants. What a mockery of Scripture. Well, you see, NBC News doesn't want to be left out of this, and they have started a website on what they call climate confessions, allowing people from across this nation or those who access their website to actually write in anonymous confessions with NBC News. You can submit your confession online. You just click on the category that you are falling short. It could be plastics. It could be regarding meat. It might be energy. It might be transportation, paper, or that of food waste. But it allows for individuals to share their confessions. So here we got people that are confessing that they are not using they're using so many disposable things with their lunch. You've got people confessing about their use of plastic bags and talking about trying not to use plastic. I purify my own water and put it into reusable containers. I compost at home, but I don't compost at work. I mean, it's just on and on where these confessions go, and certainly some make light of what's going on here as well. Here's one person said, I run my AC 24/7. I'm not going to sweat to appease this climate religion. Another person said, I would rather the whole planet burn than give up my steak. But on and on it goes, folks. But this is intended to be a serious item on NBC News. Yes, a news source. NBCNews.com has it. Climate confessions, giving people an opportunity to share anonymous confessions with NBC News. And then we also have an event that had been held called Simple Gifts for Mother Earth, an evening of music, conversation, and inspiration to address the climate crisis in advance of the September 20th through 27th global climate strike, including local events at the New Haven Green, the UN Climate Action Summit, the United Church on the Green in New Haven, Connecticut. I mean, they brought in a number of voices to assist in this. They have an environmental journalist. They have somebody in from the Endowment for Justice Coalition, the New Haven Climate Movement, the Law, Ethics, and Animals Program, Sunrise Movement. The topic here, speaking on the challenge of climate justice from the Center for Earth Ethics at, guess what? Union Theological Seminary, the same institution that is calling for this confession to plants. And friends, things are happening all over the globe, even today. As USA Today points out, tens of thousands of protesters from Australia to Thailand to London join marches and rallies worldwide today to express their concern about climate change. Organizers and protesters turning out in 156 countries, they say, from disparate locations as Nepal and Senegal, Quebec, Rome, Kyrgyzstan, Sweden, Bolivia, Peru, right along with the United States. Yes, student marches in the United States, planned in places like Chicago, Washington, New York, and San Francisco. And I found it interesting, an article that was on Daily Caller, New York's public schools announced that they were excusing students who planned on attending the various climate strikes throughout the city. Students will need parental consent. Younger students can leave with a parent. We applaud our students when they raise their voices in a safe and respectful manner on issues that matter to them. Young people around the world are joining climate strike this week, showing that student action will lead us forward. And then a statement from Mayor Bill de Blasio saying, quote, we have 10 years to save the planet. Didn't we hear that about 10 years ago from like Al Gore or something? So we have this forum on religion and ecology at Yale. Historic moment of climate strikes around the planet, a prelude to the climate strikes, the Yale Forum on Religion and Ecology organized a climate emergency event, Simple Gifts for Mother Earth. And I read some of the various events taking place along with that. And then, going along with this climate strike, I saw also what's happening right here in our state. Hundreds of Madison residents taking to the streets today to march for climate action, clean energy, and environmental justice. One of hundreds of youth-led climate strikes occurring as part of the global climate strike movement. It includes participants marching through the streets to demand that Wisconsin's Governor Tony Evers declare a state of climate emergency. Even has a concert for the climate and a 20-foot inflatable coal plant. And by the way, oh, here's the draw. This is why so many youth are attending, because at 4 o'clock this afternoon, they're offering free pizza. The climate strike, the global climate strike Madison, listen to this coalition. It includes the Youth Climate Action Team, Sierra Club, 350 Madison, Climate Reality Project of Madison, the Democratic Socialist of America, Extinction Rebellion, People's Green New Deal, Madison, the Wisconsin Network for Peace, Justice, and Sustainability. And then we have, from CNSNews.com, Bernie Sanders, saying that about the many millions and millions and millions of people who are going to be dispossessed by climate change, and the U.S. needs to welcome them, Bernie Sanders said yesterday. He's on an interview with MSNBC, said he would support the U.S. government creating a new refugee category specifically for people from all over the world wanting to come to America to flee climate change. Guess what, folks? We got climate change here, too. You know, we have these seasons called the summer, winter, and fall, and spring. Daily Wire is reporting that Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang added to the far-left policies. His climate plan includes targeting cattle and getting society to a point where people do not own their own cars. Our current car ownership and usage model is really inefficient and bad for the environment. During another wild moment during the town hall, Yang acknowledged that Democrats are indeed targeting cattle, saying, quote, "Now you ranchers, listen to this. Listen to this, because this is where the movement is going." And if you recall, we did a program here on Crosstalk with Tom DeWeese in regard to the attack on the beef industry. But now here is a man running for president of the United States of America. This is candidate Andrew Yang, who said, quote, "Cattle is very energy consuming and energy expensive." Adding that he wants to modify America's diets by taxing ranchers that raise cattle, which will drive up the cost of beef so that people can't afford to buy beef anymore. Democratic challenger Andrew Yang running for the presidency of the United States. His climate plan calls for nearly $5 trillion in spending over the next 20 years. The plan also includes a zero emission standard for all new cars by 2030 and also hundreds of billions of dollars in investment in emission-free ground and air transportation. And by the way, you know, AOC doesn't want to be left out of all of this. On Wednesday, saying that Miami has only a few years left on this planet. It was an NAACP forum. Saying when it comes to climate change, what is not realistic is not responding with a solution on the scale of the crisis, because what's not realistic is Miami not existing in a few years. ChristianPost.com says that the United Presbyterian Church of Binghamton congregation associated, this is a PCUSA church, associated with the pro-LGBT group More Light Presbyterians, hosted a 15-foot-tall totem structure known as the Sevietoid. Sevietovid on display at the church earlier this month, part of the Luma Festival. This Sevietovid was in honor of a local Slavic god of war, fertility, and abundance in the Baltic region, wrote Josiah Aiden of the IRD. He went on to speculate the reasons for the sculpture being based in the church, including the spirit of multiculturalism or a subtle nod to universalism. So we have the PCUSA congregation hosting this pagan sculpture at their church. Now, friends, we've got a break coming up, but I want to tell you the mockery of the Christian faith that is going on, and it happened before a community meeting, a local government meeting in Alaska, where the head of the so-called pastor of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster was allowed to mock God and give an invocation at this assembly meeting in Alaska. I'll tell you more about it after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are spiders ever found in the fossil record?
Yes, unbelievably, Chris, they are. Not only spiders, but sometimes spider webs are found. A spider and its web was found in amber, which was dated by evolutionists at 190 million years old. Now, I don't buy the date. I think the amber was formed at the time of Noah's flood. But think how silly this makes the millions of years idea look. Spider silk is so fragile, it dehydrates and deteriorates quite quickly. Does anybody really think it's going to last for 190 million years? Chris, a better idea is out there. It's the Back to Genesis idea of creation and the flood.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a Friday News Roundup today, and there is much going on, and this week it just seems to be going into the extreme bizarre. Yes, ChristianNews.net has the story where a man wearing a colander on his head was permitted to offer the opening prayer, and I put that in quotes, and the story does, on behalf of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster during a local government meeting in Alaska on Tuesday, which is the latest act of mockery by the self-appointed pastor following a court ruling. The self-identifying Pastafarian, that's Barrett Fletcher, cited the various duties performed by the members of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly in his message, adding a few of them that seem to feel that they can't do the work without being overseen by a higher authority. So I've called in to invoke the power of the true inebriated creator of the universe, the drunken tolerator of all lesser and more recent gods, and maintainer of gravity here on Earth. May the great flying spaghetti monster rouse himself from his stupor and let his noodly appendage ground each assembly member in their seats, he mockingly stated, and then ended his prayer, not with amen, but with ramen. His message follows a similar God-mocking invocation from the past June when a satanic temple member, Iris Fontana, caused walkouts from this assembly chamber after invoking Hail Satan in her opening prayer. The Bureau decided to only allow individuals from pre-approved religious organizations to deliver the prayers at assembly meetings. However, Fontana, along with another atheist and a Jewish woman, consequently sued, and last October, the Alaskan Supreme Court struck down the policy as unconstitutional, which resulted in Fontana's return now to give this invocation to the flying spaghetti monster. It's a mockery of God. And though they may get their laughs at this time, keep in mind what Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." FaithWire.com tells us that Chinese authorities are replacing the Ten Commandments with quotes from their president, Xi Jinping. The government is determined to destroy all Christian communities by replacing their biblical theology with a doctrine of socialism, as they promise will cure the people's problems. The government's first step is to prohibit religious couplets, that it dismantles crosses and starts to order that the national flag and core socialist values be placed in churches. Surveillance cameras monitor believers, and religious activities are then installed. The last step is to replace the Ten Commandments with speeches by Xi Jinping. The Communist Party ultimate goal is to become God. By the way, speaking of China, the Washington Free Beacon points out that the FBI has arrested a Chinese government official for visa fraud, part of China's massive scheme to illegally obtain American technology by recruiting experts in high-tech fields. More than 100 Confucius Institutes have become a major focus of several members of Congress who've sought to have the Institute shut down in response to their role in furthering pro-Beijing propaganda activities. Visas were obtained with the help of six universities in Massachusetts, Georgia, New Jersey, and elsewhere. Another very sickening story coming out this week. The remains of some more than 2,200 aborted babies were found at the home of an abortionist, Dr. Ulrich Klapfer, a former abortion provider in South Bend, Indiana. He died on September 3rd. He had performed abortions in places like South Bend, Indiana, Gary, Fort Wayne, until his license was suspended in 2015 over multiple violations. When his family went through his house, they found 2,246 medically preserved aborted babies. An investigation of the baby's remains is ongoing. Authorities found no evidence of procedures being performed at his house. On September 12th, the Will County, Illinois Coroner's Office had received a call, and this is for now from LifeNews.com, a call from the attorney representing the family. They reported finding fetal remains among his personal property and requested proper removal. The coroner's office took possession of the remains. Indiana legislators sought to investigate to determine whether the aborted babies were illegally transported across state lines from the Indiana-based abortion facility to his Illinois home. The raid came after inspections of his abortion center in 2010 and 2012 found him storing the remains of an aborted baby in the refrigerator next to medications. Indiana law requires burial or cremation of babies killed in abortions, a law that the Supreme Court has upheld. A White House spokesman issued a statement Monday evening calling for a full investigation to determine if anyone else was involved and whether crimes were committed. Steve Aden, the president of Americans United for Life, believes that state law was violated, saying that the abortionist actions undoubtedly violated Indiana medical waste laws, but he didn't care, nor did he care that thousands of his patients did not give consent to allowing him to take the bodies of their deceased infants across state lines for an unknown reason. LifeNews.com also points out that Vice President Mike Pence took to Twitter Tuesday to denounce this abhorrent discovery, saying, "The horrific discovery of 2,246 fetal remains in abortionist Dr. Klopfer's Illinois home is appalling and should shock the conscience of every American." He said, "When I was governor of Indiana, we took his medical license away and passed a law requiring fetal remains be treated with dignity," saying that this should shock the nation's conscience. I wonder if this nation even has a pulse anymore on this issue. Well, it took days, but finally, Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg addressed the discovery. He's the mayor of South Bend, running for president. He said, "Like everyone, I find that news out of Illinois extremely disturbing, and I think it's important that it be fully investigated." He said, he goes on to say this, "I also hope it doesn't get caught up in politics at a time when women need access to health care." Mr. Buttigieg, they just found over 2,200 remains of aborted babies in this abortionist house. And you're saying we don't want to get caught up in politics at this time? Oh, by the way, LifeNews.com reported just a couple weeks ago that Pete Buttigieg suggested that unborn babies can be aborted up until they draw their first breath, saying, well, parts of the Bible mention how life begins with breath. He talked about how God breathed in Adam the breath of life and man became a living soul. We're talking about the first human being born, not born, but coming to life, how man was created. And he's using that as a basis to kill unborn babies in the womb because they haven't breathed air yet. Another troubling story this week coming out of Union County, North Carolina. Fox 46 in Charlotte had the story of a Cuthbertson High School teacher, Union County, North Carolina, called out Vice President Mike Pence while he was visiting North Carolina, allegedly telling her students that he should be shot in the head. The Union County Sheriff's Office says it passed the information along to the Secret Service to investigate. The teacher allegedly made the comments to students in the same week that the vice president was in town to campaign for congressional-elect Dan Bishop. The school board chair said, post on Facebook, "I can assure you this will be taken seriously." Seriously? I would hope to shout. From Breaking Christian News, the former Planned Parenthood president says that the corporation of Planned Parenthood is threatening her into silence. She announced on Twitter, quote, "In July, Planned Parenthood and I parted ways over philosophical differences about the direction and future of the organization. The board exercised its right to terminate my employment without cause, which requires them to pay severance and cover my family's health insurance. Now they refuse to honor my employment contract unless I agree to a gag clause. To be clear, I will never sign a gag clause that takes away my voice as a public health expert. I will never compromise my integrity and commitment to the patients I serve," Dr. Leanna Wend wrote. Planned Parenthood may be mistreating its pregnant former president now, by blackmailing her into silence, reports Breaking Christian News. The New York Times obtained a 1,400-word letter Wren wrote this past week to Planned Parenthood's board of directors, calling Planned Parenthood deeply hypocritical in its attempt to enforce a gag rule on her. LifeNews.com also reports that U.S. Representative Dan Lipinski of Illinois been a target of abortion activists for years because he stands up to his party and defends unborn babies. His primary opponent is pro-abortion candidate Marie Newman. On Tuesday, Newman received an endorsement from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a pro-abortion Democrat and socialist from New York, they report, saying it's going to take a bigger, stronger Democratic Party. We can't afford deep blue seats fighting against health care and equal rights, she put out on Twitter. Well, let's see. Western Journal reporting an Illinois teen is suing e-cigarette maker Juul, claiming he suffered lung damage through vaping that left him with the lungs of a 70-year-old and nearly killed him. We're talking a teenager. He's from Gurnee. Says he's a victim of deceptive marketing. An x-ray revealed bad news. That's when he found out the full damage. If I'd known what I was doing to my body, I would have never touched it, but I didn't know. I wasn't educated, he says. Well, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported at least 530 people have gotten sick as an outbreak of vaping-linked lung illnesses spreads across the country, federal officials said yesterday. Seven people have died, and officials said more deaths are expected because some of the patients are suffering from such severe lung illnesses. Well, let's see. What's up to Beto O'Rourke? Oh, yes, from Politico. He said yesterday that he wants the federal government to provide drug war justice grants to people formerly incarcerated for nonviolent marijuana offenses. The proposed grants, part of his plan to legalize and regulate marijuana, would be funded by a federal tax on the industry. In his proposal, his campaign said a proposed justice grants would be funded entirely by a tax on the marijuana industry and would go to former state and federal inmates for a period based on time served. You were put in prison for drug offenses? You need to have this special justice grant given to you. If elected, O'Rourke pledged to use clemency power to release people now serving sentences for marijuana possession, and he called for expunging the records of those convicted of possession. He said we need to not only end the prohibition on marijuana, but also repair the damage done to the communities of color disproportionately locked up in our criminal justice system or locked out of opportunity because of the war on drugs. WND.com reporting a new study found some state agencies that process driver's licenses and car registrations are selling personal information for tens of millions of dollars. They report on WND.com in Wisconsin, the State Division of Motor Vehicles has taken in more than $17 million since it became known that the private information was on the market. The sale of information is legal under the Driver's Privacy Protection Act of 1994. In California, the DMV does not sell personal information or share it with advertisers or marketers. However, some information can be inspected online. Feel good about that? We're going to take a quick break. I'll have a few more stories to share after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
How is your marriage relationship? Do you have a spirit-filled marriage? Is your marriage one in which the lost world can look in and see Christ represented? Many of us know that we are called to have such a marriage, but fail to make it happen, perhaps due to lack of knowledge on the topic. In the booklet, What Does a Spirit-Filled Marriage Look Like?, biblical counselor Susan Heck draws principles from the book of Ephesians. She presents 13 doctrines that guide a marriage that will bring glory to God. You'll learn about humility, forgiveness, generosity, unity, and much more. You'll also learn not only to know these principles, but how to grow them in your marriage relationship. VCY is offering one copy of this booklet for a donation of $6, 5 copies for a donation of $24, or 10 copies for $42. Just call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Just a reminder to our Minnesota listeners that this coming Sunday afternoon is the Protect Kids Rally being held at the Minnesota State Capitol, starting, I believe, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. The speaker, Karen England, from California, the Capitol Resources Institute, regarding this comprehensive sex education matter. We had an interview early this week, Monday. You can find it at crosstalkamerica.com. Well, let's see. This is from thenewamerican.com. Yes, Beto O'Rourke at it is threatened to confiscate your AR-15, your AK-47, and confirms that their ultimate goal is to disarm the citizenry. The strategy for disarming Americans is mandatory buybacks. By the way, just happened, today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Governor Tony Evers has rolled out red flag legislation Thursday. It was reported in the paper today and said he would consider requiring gun owners. Now listen to this. Consider requiring gun owners to sell off some of their weapons. Republicans who controlled the legislature immediately rejected both ideas, much as they resisted an earlier proposal from him for expanded background checks. Evers said at a Capitol News conference, "Each and every day, officials choose cowardice over common sense. That choice has significant consequences. The consequences of inaction are too high, folks," is what he said, end of quote. Governor Evers saying he'd consider requiring gun owners to sell off some of their weapons. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty agreed to a settlement with the Housing Authority of the City of Menominee to protect the Second Amendment rights of Housing Authority residents there. You see, there was a veteran, a gun owner, resident of the Housing Authority of the City of Menominee, who was forced to pay for safe storage of his legal firearms off-site because of a lease provision that banned firearms in residents' own homes. Well, Will took that issue in a legal means, and City Menominee Housing Authority has agreed to stop enforcing their gun ban, pledged to remove this from all leases by April of 2020. Coming to us from WND.com, the Inspector General has confirmed he wants criminal charges against former FBI Director Comey. In May of 2017, Comey asked a law professor friend to give the New York Times copies of a memo of his conversations with President Trump. Comey later acknowledged to Congress that his intent was to trigger a special counsel investigation of the president. And the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, said he would look into allegations that Comey lied during his 2017 Senate hearing. He wants criminal charges brought against Comey. From townhall.com, a federal judge yesterday has ordered a temporary injunction against California's law that requires presidential candidates to disclose their tax returns in order to be on the presidential primary ballot. Trump's attorney, Jay Sekulow, applauded the judge's decision, saying, quote, "We are encouraged that the federal court has tentatively concluded that a preliminary injunction should be granted. We look forward to the court's written order," Sekulow said. By the way, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio dropped out of the presidential race today for the 2020 nomination for president. He said, quote, "I feel like I've contributed all I can to this primary election, and it's clearly not my time," he said. Let me just cover a couple other issues, and we'll get some phone lines open today here on the program. Oh, yeah, Merriam-Webster Dictionary has now included the non-binary pronoun they. They have added it to the dictionary. They announced this Tuesday of this week. AOC said, what great news, in a Twitter post. Shout out to all our non-binary fam in the world and the activists who've worked hard to let us celebrate the full spectrum of humanity. So Merriam-Webster Dictionary now has they for a pronoun, but it's one of the definitions now has been used to refer to a single person whose gender identity is non-binary. Merriam-Webster Dictionary making that announcement this week. From Arizona, Newsmax.com, the Arizona Supreme Court Monday ruled that a Phoenix ordinance protecting LGBT people from discrimination cannot be used to make artists create custom wedding invitations for same-sex couples. The ruling overturned several lower court rulings protecting the so-called non-discrimination ordinance. The battle's been going on since 2016. Alliance Defending Freedom represented the women who create handmade artwork and say their religious beliefs teach that marriage should be between a man and a woman. They've been forced. They said, you are violating our non-discrimination law. Well, the Arizona Supreme Court overturned that Monday of this week. Also, California Senate passed a resolution telling Christian clergy to accept and support LGBTQ ideology, even if doing so violates their Christian beliefs, FaithNews.com reports. The resolution, again, it's a resolution. It does not contain the weight of law, but is the sense of the California state legislature. The resolution also condemns counseling for unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion known as conversion therapy. But they passed this resolution telling pastors, you need to accept, you need to support the LGBTQ ideology, even if it violates your Christian beliefs. Another story of shock caught our attention here with this headline. Baptist Church calls transgender pastor to lead Ohio congregation. This is a church that is was a peace community church. Bright, compassionate, faith-filled, spirit-led, as a loving presence showed much of each of us. At the end of our time together on Sunday, when we formed a circle, said in departing prayer, I think we felt a sense of calling to our church. But this is a Baptist church in Ohio, American Baptist, I should point out, welcoming a transgender pastor to come and lead the flock. By the way, Chick-fil-A sales, if you recall, they've been on the boycott list, can't eat homophobic chicken or whatever it is. Well, their sales have doubled since the boycotts began. Let's go to our phone lines. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. If you'd like to comment on these stories today or other current event news, 800-733-9829. Our number to Crosstalk, again, 800-733-9829. From townhall.com, a new report by the Guttmacher Institute finds that the national abortion rate has dropped to its lowest point since 1973. That is, with the exception of Planned Parenthood. For the year 2017, Guttmacher took account of 862,320 abortions. I can't feel good about that at all. It's a 19% decline. I'm thankful that there are less babies being killed, but it's abhorrent that 862,320 abortions took place. But Planned Parenthood saw a decline less than one-half of 1%. From 2011 to 2017. In other words, Planned Parenthood's abortion business is doing just fine. Let's go to James calling in from Tomah, Wisconsin. James, you're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment on the issue of the flying spaghetti monster. When I first saw the internet posts about this thing, it all looked familiar. And then I looked into it, yep. And sure enough, I had been out at Oregon State University for a number of years, and that's where I had originally heard it. Sure enough, that's where it came from. There's a huge movement out in Oregon to dethrone God and to disestablish him. It came straight out of California. They have a word for it that I'm not going to say over the radio because it's obscene.
Mm-hmm.
But when something comes out of California, they have a word for it. And that's what's been done to Oregon, and that's what they want to do to our whole country and our world.
Well, James, it also has appeared in postings at the Wisconsin State Capitol as well, at the times when the nativity is put out by a pro-life, pro-family group. And so you have a mockery also taking place with the flying spaghetti monster there as well.
It originally came out of something, and this is the essence of all opposition to creation. You know, whatever, if they're supporting evolution, if they're supporting the idea we all came from aliens, whatever, they don't want a God that they have to account to.
But
and that's all it's about. That's all it is.
Yeah. Thank you, James, for the call. They don't want a God to account to, but that's the God they will account to. Ron is calling in from Steubenville, Kentucky. Ron, you're on the air.
Yes, I was calling about the vaping and all these people going to the hospital. I think there's something getting left out of a lot of these reports. I had listened to the news and also had saw where a lot of these teenagers was putting cannabis oil in with the oils that you put in your e-cigarette. And then almost every one of those people that ended up in the hospital was doing the mixing of the oils thinking they were going to get high.
Yeah.
So I think that plays a lot into it. It's just that they're right. Too young and immature to understand you can't mix chemicals. And I'm not saying vaping's good in and of itself.
No,
but
it's not.
They're mixing other stuff into it, making it all the more harmful.
Yeah. Thank you, Ron, for that. And just a matter of a couple of weeks ago, we did an interview here in Crosstalk with Dr. David Stevens. Spent the whole program just on the topic of vaping and the issues going on with that. Again, go to crosstalkamerica.com. Do a search on vaping. You'll find that program. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. William is next in East Troy, Wisconsin. William?
Yeah, Brother Jim, on another news source yesterday, I heard that our governor here in Wisconsin, she's deciding that she wants to have a mandatory buyback of certain firearms, and that I find it rather hypocritical that he's concerned about people being killed with guns, but yet he's not concerned about abortion and young innocent victims from abortion. And does the governor actually know how to read? I mean, doesn't it say that the right to bear arms shall not be infringed? I think we need to call our elected leaders accountable and let them know that don't punish law-abiding citizens with this type of action. It seems hypocritical.
Thank you, William, for your comments. And those who'd like to contact Governor Evers of Wisconsin, his number is 608-266-1212. That's 608-266-1212. Thank you, William, for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Our number to Crosstalk here is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Lee is calling from Arizona. And Lee, in Marana, you're on the air.
Hello. Good afternoon, Jim. You know, the scripture that comes to me as far as Chick-fil-A is concerned, I don't know the scripture exactly, the book and the verse, but it says obedience is better than sacrifice. Mm. And when you look at Chick-fil-A, and I've heard a great backstory to that business, you know, with their employees, you know, the establishment being closed on Sunday so folks could spend family time, you know, their employees can go to church. When you contrast that to the Boys Club, Girls Club, not the Boys Club, Girls Club, but the Boy Scouts, and when you see the compromise, you can just look at that, those two businesses, and see the negative that can happen when you compromise. Also, I wanted to say something very quickly, Jim, on these vaping products. A program I was listening to, a person that actually works in something to do with like the manufacturing of the vaping and how that works, he said with a THC not reaching a certain boiling point that it needs to reach, like 400 degrees Celsius or something, he was saying, that is what is maybe contributing to people having all the lung issues because they're putting the wrong product in there and it's not safely able to reach a certain boiling point. But at any rate, I wanted to say have a blessed day, Jim.
Thank you. And by the way, that verse you're looking for is 1 Samuel 15, verse 22.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. And dealing with King Saul, who disobeyed by not destroying the flocks that he was supposed to. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. America is under siege. Many experts, including Dr. Peter Pry, have declared that World War III started in the summer of 2018 when Russia attacked our power grid, hacking into our system. We have Dr. Kevin Freeman declaring we are already in World War III when it comes to economic warfare. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa have formed their own banking system and are going after the American dollar. In fact, he did the Pentagon research for how, well, the crash of 2008 occurred, which involved foreign entities going after our stock market and Fannie and Freddie Mae. My friends, Americans need to wake up to the worldview war waging in America. We invite you to visit SiegeTheMovie.com and watch a free trailer. SiegeTheMovie.com. You're being given a lot of fake news, and Americans need to awaken to the fact that this is a worldview war, a spiritual battle at its very foundation.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and taking your calls today. It's been a Friday News Roundup today, just a collection of lots of different stories and, yeah, a number of bizarre stories and things going on this very week. Back to the phone lines, Albany, Kentucky. We have Jeff calling. Jeff, you're on the air.
Yes, I just quickly wanted to make a really short testimony that connected to something you said earlier about a God that they would be accountable to.
Mm-hmm.
Here this weekend, there is something you guys have been advertising on your radio station about the transgender march coming up in Somerset. And this is not something, this is not a big town at all. Somerset's not a very large town, and it's affecting even small communities now. This abomination toward God now is even affecting this. But getting back to my testimony, yesterday afternoon when I was picking my 7-year-old daughter up from school, that was on the radio. They were talking about it. And I just happened to look over at my 7-year-old daughter and say, boy, I'll tell you what, those people are crazy. I'm sure I'm glad we're not crazy, aren't you? And she said, well, Daddy, she said, if you're crazy, you're crazy. That's just the way God made you. And I said, well, honey, I said, God didn't make anybody crazy. I said, where do you learn that? And she said, well, that's the way they teach us in school. And no matter what we are, that's what God made us. So now, getting to my point is that, now that's put me in a situation to where I have to unteach that and not confuse a 7-year-old. But thank you for your time.
Thank you so very much. And yeah, it's an attack on Scripture itself, and certainly going back to Genesis chapter 1 and recognizing God made them male and female. So we have man and woman. God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him, male and female. Not both, not part of one and the other. Or you identify as this or that. Jesus reaffirmed that in the New Testament as well. Undoing that's going on. We've had guest after guest warning about the indoctrination going on in the school district, and first-hand witness you are right there. John in Jamestown, Kentucky, you're on the air. Hello, James. You're on the air.
Yes.
Yeah, John, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to comment on the Chick-fil-A thing where you said they were being boycotted, and but yet the sales are up. Obviously, it's because, you know, the Christians are backing it. There's such a small amount of the people boycotting it because, and that's what amazes me with this whole LGBTQ thing, is how small a number of a percent of the population that really is that's actually, making laws and things and doing the things they're doing. Where, and it just shows me with that Chick-fil-A thing that if the Christians, true Christians, would boycott LGBTQ things that are like stores and websites and products and things like that, how big a difference it could actually make. Because they're showing that with the Chick-fil-A thing, where they're supporting it, sales are up and all that. It would just make such a huge difference because, like I said, the numbers are so small of the percentage of America that is part of the LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm.
And, but of course, I understand things behind it all. That's a big part of why it's being pushed through, but that's just what I wanted to say, a comment about that.
Thank you, John. Let's go to Linda in Daphne, Alabama. You're on the air.
Hello, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Listen, I wanted to say something about Chick-fil-A also. When you go to a Chick-fil-A, you don't see a flashing sign that says, we don't want LGB, whatever it is, to purchase our product.
No.
You don't see that sign.
No.
They practice a very simple procedure. Love the sinner, hate the sin. There's nothing in there that says we won't serve everybody.
No, they will serve anybody, but they go back to the statement that their founder, Dan Cathy, made, saying that he believes, as Scripture teaches, that marriage is between a man and a woman. And if you hold that belief today, you are deemed to be homophobic, Linda.
Well, he had every right to express his opinion. I think he was a great man. I think he founded a fantastic corporation, which is also a very safe work environment for Christian students.
Linda, thank you for your thoughts here today. From Alabama, let's go to West Virginia next. And Roscoe, you're on the air.
How are you doing today?
Go ahead with your comment, Roscoe.
Yes, it's a great show on the radio. I try to listen to you every day on King's radio, by the way. But, you know, just like them trying to take our guns away, we as the people, and I still had this conversation with a man, everybody wants to push stuff aside and say, hey, it's not affecting me. Well, I told a man, I said, you can only stay on your porch so long and think it's not getting into your yard or your neighborhood. We've all got to join together as Christians and stand up against them trying to disarm us. We came here, just as our forefathers did, that we were armed for a reason. We were armed not to become, to get taken over by socialism and stuff forced on us. And just like your people are talking about Chick-fil-A, I truly believe that they've taken everything and tried to push it down our throat. Well, it's time for us to stand up and say, this is the way our country was going.
Thank you, Roscoe. We've got a really poor connection there, and you're breaking up, but thank you for the call. Merle in Tennessee, our final call today. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say the fact that such a small percentage of the population that's driving these perverted agendas shows that it's demonically driven. This is a spiritual battle. It's demonically driven that such a small percentage can be able to do this. And there's no place for complacency in this, because I believe complacency leads to complicity.
Hmm.
And we cannot be complacent, Brother Jim.
Yeah.
And I thank you for all you do.
Thank you for your call here today. And indeed, friends, as he mentioned, the spiritual battle that we're in, Ephesians chapter 6 says, finally, my brethren, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, just stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Indeed, a spiritual battle is before us. And friends, we should not be using carnal weapons to respond. We need to use spiritual weapons. Let's pray. Let's promote. Let's proclaim the Word of God. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.